Open your Bible and turn to 1 Peter 2, and we're going to work our way through verses 18 through the close of the chapter this morning. Before reading and looking at the verses, let's put ourselves in two situations in preparation. Those of us who come from families with several children, the middle child particularly is very concerned about what's fair. That's not fair. The middle child says that more than probably any other person in that structure of children. The oldest child, not so much. The youngest is probably spoiled rotten and everything goes just fine. That's sometimes the case. But what is fair? That's not fair, is something that is said and thought very often. If that doesn't touch you, think about work situations. You're the one who's there early. You're the one who puts in a full measure. You're the one who does things on time. You accept the order that would be there, the structure. You are very different, perhaps, than others who aren't acting according to what could be best. And often the same idea comes to mind. That's not fair. How did that person get a promotion? I've been here longer. That's not fair. They leave early, regularly. I'm always here late. That's not fair. That's not fair. And the list could go on and on in our thinking. Peter deals with that type thing when he addressed the Christians. And chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, gives us a perspective that does apply to each of us. In the verses, he's talking about a slave-master relationship. But in practicality for our time, he's talking about the structure that would be in place for us as employees and the person who might be over us in the job place or in the community in some form. The principles relate and we use them to make the points that are given to us. I appreciated Tom's comments because we're doing the same thing he talked about around the communion table, except that the person in the mirror is the picture of Jesus Christ. We're comparing ourselves to the example of Jesus Christ. We will always fall short. Let's just say that as quickly as we can. We will always fall short, but we need to be making the effort. We need to be making progress. We need to have that set before us as the standard. And it doesn't mean that everything is going to be just what it ought to be. Peter makes that clear as he takes us into the life of Jesus Christ, into the memories that he saw and heard as he followed him for 3+ years, as he has sought to emulate him in his personal life. And it begins in verse 18, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Submit yourself to someone who might be in authority over you. Submit yourself to your employer and do it with respect. We touched on the concept of submission from verse 13 last week. It applied to governmental authorities. Very strong language there about submitting to that authority. Peter uses the same strength to go to a different circumstance, but the principle is very similar. And it's the idea that someone is in that position and our response should be respect. Do they have to be the best employer that you've ever worked for? That's not what he's suggesting. And that becomes very clear when we see the exact representation of Jesus' response while upon this earth. Does it mean you receive the fair wage, the fair understanding, the fair promotion? Does it mean that everything is just what it ought to be? Not at all. But the response is respect to the person in authority. And realize that you have an obligation. And he says not only to those who are good, and not only to those who are considerate. Talking to my son just the other day, how's the new Coast Guard commander at the station? Dad, he is so easy to get along with. He didn't come in making a lot of unnecessary changes. He fit in to all of us who had been there before. He did this. He thinks this way. He acted this way. It was a blessing for parents to hear their son talk about the person that they are under in their job. Hasn't always been that case. Some not so considerate, some not so good, some caught up in their authority and making change for change's sake and disrupting things that had been in place for a number of years. With the previous crew, you get where I'm going. We respond with respect, and not only when they're good, not only when they are considerate, but also to those who are harsh, the NIV uses. Those whose treatment is not what it ought to be, what it could be, certainly toward you. You don't feel as if they're listening to you. You don't feel as if they have an appreciation for what you bring to the situation. You just think they're being so harsh in their place of authority. He's made a list for us. He didn't leave it to our imagination, did he? Be a person with respect. If they're good and considerate, great. If they're not, still, your response is determined for you as a Christian. He puts us in a circumstance. I think he's wanting us to think about our feelings. Men don't like to talk about feelings very often. Wives, if you can get us to express our feelings, you are a very good communicator. Parents, if you can get your children to express their feelings, you're really getting at the heart of the matter, much more than cliche and just some conversation. I think Peter is taking us to an analysis of our feelings. He says, it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. He's saying, this doesn't feel right. I don't like this. This isn't the way it ought to be. That's my expression of the circumstance. And yes, it is commendable if we have a good employer, if we have a considerate employer, but he's working off verse 8 of the harsh employer. And it's commendable if your response in that circumstance is to bear up under the pain of unjust suffering. He's not suggesting something that it's not. He is telling us what it feels like. this doesn't feel right. It's unjust. It doesn't feel right. It's having to put up and bear up under this circumstance. But it's commendable if you do it because of your consciousness of God. What would God want me to say in this circumstance when it happens so often and it's not fair? What would God have you to do as that employer treats you unfairly and you have to bear up under it more often than should ever be the case? You're doing it because you're aware of God. God is watching. God cares for you. God wants you to respond in a particular way. We'll see that in a moment. What would God want me to do in this situation at work? Harsh, unjust, bearing up? What would God say in the matter? Verse 20 really points the finger. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you're a terrible employee, what benefit and what credit should you receive when you get what you deserve? You're a bad employee. What benefit do you think? What consideration will there be in your circumstance if you're not who you ought to be? What credit is given to you? It's a banking term that's put on your ledger, if you will. It's on the good side rather than the negative side. What credit when you do wrong and you get what you should get, and you endure it, what credit should you receive as you're looking to God in this circumstance? But if you suffer for doing good, let that sink in a moment. Submission. Your response, whatever he is, whatever it is she is doing in that environment, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. You can walk out of that building each day with your shoulders back and your head held high. He's not making light. It's suffering. It's unjust. It's difficult. He's not making it to be anything but exactly what it was and describing how it must feel. But your response with the consciousness of God and your bearing up under it and enduring it, respecting the situation, is commendable before God. I have always appreciated when Scripture tells us that God understands the kind of days that we might go through. He talked in Matthew 6, Jesus did, of worrying, and he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough hardship for its own. I really appreciate God telling me sometimes days are just hard. And he tells us how we should respond to that hard day. I appreciate when he's candid with us about life. Life isn't fair many times. People don't treat us fairly many times. And what are we going to do about it? How will we respond? With an awareness of God, we can leave the workplace each day with our head held high and know that we were commendable from God's perspective. God is pleased with our bearing up under that unjust, harsh suffering. Don't make light of it. Don't make it to be easier than it may feel like. He's using honest words. But it's commendable if we respond that way. But then he says something we might not like. But again, he's being very candid with us. Peter says, "To this you were called." Wait a minute. Are you saying that he put me in this job so that my boss would be unfair and it would be harsh and it would be something I had to bear up under? To this you were called. I have recommended over the years for people who have a job that's not what it could be, what it ought to be, be the best employee that you can be, but keep your eyes out for something different, and it might be better. But be the best employer you can be where you are. We'll see some instruction about that in a moment. But keep your eyes open. Improve your situation if you're able over time. Chances are the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, too. It may not be better. It may be very similar. But that's just what you say when you're in private to help them to manage the situation they're in. To this you were called. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, Peter doesn't leave us wondering, and I appreciate it. He lets us see, feel, know what Christ went through. He's not glamorizing the life of Christ as far as the things he's discussing here. You were called to be like Christ. I was called to be like Christ. His example shines bright for us. And that example is something we should follow. Had a friend on the beach in Destin, Florida with family, a member of the body of Christ. He made the point yesterday to walk in the sand and make some footprints present. And then he backed away and took a picture of that footprint, several of them, and listed scripture similar to this one about the footsteps of Jesus. Follow in his steps. That's a specific word. It means he walked upon this earth, didn't he? He was with humanity daily. He walked here. He understands us here. And we have that example. He committed no sin. He's quoted from Isaiah 53, verse 9. He committed no sin in this circumstance, and no deceit was found in his mouth. We sometimes literally have to bite our tongue to not say what we feel is happening in our life. No deceit was found in his mouth. Nothing of that nature was there in the midst of this circumstance. But it doesn't stop there. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. We could spend some time there, couldn't we? How dare you say that to me? What do you mean you've given something to someone else? I worked hard for that. That's an insult, what you're saying to me and how you're treating me. And we feel as if in order for life to be fair and in order for us to receive what we think we deserve, we have something to say about it. And it can be a point of retaliation. It's certainly you want them to receive it as retaliation for what you've said and done, not from Christ. When he suffered, he made no threats. You just wait. You just wait. I'm going to HR. They're going to hear about this. Someone's going to come to my side. You just wait. And that doesn't mean that you may not, in some circumstances, have the right to make things known and others come to your assistance. But life isn't fair. Many job opportunities aren't what they appear to be. No threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. I'm going to give you to God. I'm going to give this situation to God. It may not be reckoned out the way I would like in my lifetime. It may not be fair in the amount of time I continue to work here. He entrusted himself to him who judges, there will be judgment, justly. And that's an interesting statement by Peter. I want certain things to happen at judgment. I would like to prejudge the situation and personally condemn them to life in hell, eternity. But I may be mad. I may not understand the situation. I may not have all the facts. When God brings forth a judgment, it will be according to that which is just, breaking no rules. I wouldn't mind a few rules to be broken. I think they were then. I wouldn't mind some of them broken there. That's not what Jesus did. God will bring it to bear. Give it to him, give the person, give the situation as you are conscious of God and know that it will all come out and no rules will be broken. It will be just. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. What did the insults, what did the suffering, what did the abuse bring into the life of our Savior? Calvary. Death on a cross. But what he accomplished on that cross was to take my sins there. And they were dealt with fairly in the way God had planned since before the creation of the world. And he uses two terms to help us remember, follow in his footsteps. Use him as your mindset. See him in the mirror. And see him as the shepherd and as the overseer. Those are two words used of church leaders, elders, bishops, shepherds, overseer. But he's talking about Christ here. See what he has done for you. And see how he cares about you. And see how he manages you. as a sheep that has gone astray, I think he's also saying, and as sheep who will again go astray. If you don't follow in his steps, respond in life, which isn't fair, to the way you ought to, give the people, give the circumstance to God, and walk out each day with your shoulders back and your head held high, it will be evened out one day. Probably not in your lifetime. And that's just the reality. It's the reality in the pattern of Christ. It didn't come to bear to where it was easier in his lifetime. Those last hours were the hardest of all. That last week was the most difficult of all. But he gave himself to God, who would deal with it fairly and justly, and he lived the way he needed to live. That's our encouragement this morning. Peter takes it to life. He deals with real life situations, and it's clearly there before us. The responses we would give is, how can I do better? Am I making progress? Have I sinned in my not doing what I should have done? And the opportunities in a circumstance like today, ask for prayers if our prayers for you could be of help. Repent of sin if others know about it here. We need to know that God's forgiving you so we can forgive you. If we don't know about it, you don't need to tell us, but take care of it. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, he's not your shepherd, he's not your overseer yet. He's done all that he can do through Christ to let you be in that spiritual relationship to where the example of Jesus Christ is clearer to you. Because you've denied self, you've been raised to walk in that new life. As you've been immersed in water, sins forgiven, forgotten, and you begin again, sometimes many times in a single day. If we can help you in some way, let that be known as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.